It is the return, installment number two of the Federal News Radio Book Club. And my colleague, Federal News Radio's Chris Dorabeck, air personality?
Yeah. No, that's what the government computer news called me, radio WFED radio personality. I adored that.
Yeah, I can tell. And as well you should. You know, that's what people have been calling me for 25 years. So you get used to it after a while.
Well, it's not like I've been a journalist for a long time or anything
like that. Oh, now. But thank you. You're battling some kind of the creepy crud.
Yeah,
and
I feel a little oogie.
Well, we're really glad that you came in to do this today, because we've all been looking forward to talking about the book, What Would Google Do, by Jeff Jarvis. There goes my microphone.
Yeah, that was
And it's been a great experience reading this book, talking about it with you. You've been going on and on about it, not only on this show, but also talking about it on your blog, DorabeckInsider.com, which is now on FederalNewsRadio.com, yep. And talking about it on the Daily Debrief.
And the thing that I love, two things that I love. Number one is I was telling Frank DiGiammarino from the National Academy of Public Administration, who you'll introduce later formally. But I was at this session yesterday, W3C, which is the World Wide Web Consortium. And these are folks who basically set all sorts of standards for the web, and they're actually looking at e-government stuff. And there was this guy from England who leads their e-gov efforts over there, and he brings up the book. I didn't even prompt him.
Interesting.
So he brought it up and started talking about it. And the reasons why I chose this book is one of the biggest frustrations and sort of almost concerns that I hear from people as I'm out and about and talking about this stuff is that it's going to change how we do business. And my response always is, yeah, it is.
Yeah, duh.
And you know, they go, oh, well, what does that mean? I think Mr. Jarvis, Jeff Jarvis, has done really a good job of capturing, and we've talked about this before, I think so much of it isn't actually, it's a mindset change. If you don't make changes that, if you just put an electronic end on stuff that you're already doing, well, then this is not going to really work. We're not going to get the kind of advances that I think are possible. And Mr. Jarvis has done a really good job of explaining, I think, and making them very clear the mindset changes that go into this, and using Google as sort of a way of pointing to somebody who does it, of course. So I read the book and just absolutely fell head over heels in love with it, and so I'm thrilled that he agreed to do this with us.
It really is a terrific roadmap for thinking as people figure out how things are going to change, and especially how executives think about how management jobs are going to change over the next period of time. And so, Chris, thanks again for putting aside your ill feelings, and not toward me, of course,
right,
and coming in to be here with us today. Also in studio with me today is Frank DiGiammarino. He's the Vice President of Strategic Initiatives at the National Academy of Public Administration, and another big disciple of this book. And thank you for coming in to talk about it, Frank.
Thanks so much for having me.
Glad to do it. As you went through it, what was it, just maybe in a sentence or two, that really grabbed you or changed your thinking or whatever?
Well, I think, you know, the National Academy has been playing in this space and trying to change mindsets for about a year and a half, looking at all the different examples going across all levels of government. And I think what was really great is how he breaks down the different types of thinking that need to happen and really gives a little bit of a roadmap and gives really strong examples of how you can change your thinking and what success looks like. And then he models it for you. Which I think is absolutely brilliant, by taking different sectors of society and the economy and saying, here's what would happen with newspapers if you were to be like Google.
Yeah.
Here's what would happen in education. Here's what could happen in government. Here's what would happen with cars. It's a very powerful way to demonstrate some core principles of how what we like to say, moving from a hierarchical era to a collaborative era, what those new principles are and how they can play.
Jeff Jarvis is the author of the book that we're talking about, What Would Google Do? He is director of the Interactive Journalism Program at the City University of New York City's new Graduate School of Journalism, and among other credits. And one of the great things about Federal News Radio's book club is that we have Mr. Jarvis with us on the program today, sir. Thank you very much for being on with us.
I'm delighted to be here.
We are going to do this, as we talked about before we went on the air, sir, in a very kind of free-ranging way. You now know that you've got three people that are excited about this book on the phone with you. So we're just going to get started and let the conversation go where it will. When you sat down to put this book together, did you intend to write about Google in particular, or were they just a model that worked for what it was that you wanted to say to people?
Very much the latter. This is really about the changes, the fundamental and permanent and confusing and counterintuitive changes that are going on in our economy and society. And I figured the best way to try to start to understand it was by looking through the lens of someone who succeeded at this. Lord knows Google has succeeded. But I also wanted to do that from a distance. I didn't go and interview Google. I didn't want to. I wanted to stand back and try to analyze Google. And so I think one can do the same thing with other institutions or companies that have been successful, whether that's Amazon or whether that's the Obama campaign or whatever. They see the world in a different way because the world is fundamentally changed. I wrote a post in my blog, Buzz Machine, a few days ago, arguing that what we're going through now is not a great recession or a great depression, but a great restructuring. It's gotten a lot of Twitter pass around because I think that a lot of people are starting to see that it's more than just a different way to think. It's the fact that the world itself has changed, and how the heck do we figure that out?
And one of the real scary things, I think, for a lot of federal agencies that I talked about, is funny. I was speaking to the folks out at HHS a couple weeks ago, and I said, wouldn't it be great if when we do rules, instead of posting them in the Federal Register, which is, you know, an 8-point type that no one looks at except if you're a lobbyist, and if we just posted them in a searchable format, which they're not right now, and allowed people to go in on a wiki and maybe change them, you know, sort of Wikipedia-esque, and somebody, after their eyes sort of got, their eyes grew to sort of quarter size, and then they said, well, what if we got like 10,000 comments? And I said to them, hold on, isn't that what, I mean, you've been begging for people to actually care about what you do.
And nobody has for centuries, literally.
And because it was so difficult to find. So you're putting that in a negative category rather than a positive category. And it is that kind of mindset change that I think.
That's true of companies as well. I think it's really important that exactly that fear question, and it comes from many things. It comes from being attacked, which happens to people in government. It comes from the, what the heck do I do with all this? Do I have to respond to everyone?
Yep.
And instead, the goal of this is just to try to extract the wisdom of the crowd, and then it's still a representative democracy and still should be. I don't want the whole mob running everything. But I do want the people who are running things to be smarter and to hear more and to get more good ideas and good suggestions and have the means to do that. And just sending in emails or letters to people isn't sufficient, partly because that's the fear. You've got to deal with them all the same.
Right.
It's the discussion that becomes very interesting. In the book, I talk about My Starbucks Idea, which is a forum where people can go in and tell Starbucks what they should do. But the discussion occurs in public with other customers and with employees. And one of my favorite ideas is a suggestion that a customer said, I had a Starbucks card. It's my money's on it. I would also like to have my regular drink order on it. So when I walk into the store, I can wave the card. My money goes out. My drink order goes in. I go around the end. I get the drink. And there were four or five or six suggestions that shared a similar theme. And that theme, which was unspoken, was, Starbucks, your lines are too long and too slow. But the people who came in were not complaining about that. Instead, they came in with constructive, generous suggestions about how to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem with government discussion is it's so often purely negative. Get the bastards.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there are some bastards to get. You know, we'll stipulate that. But not on the whole, people are trying to do good work. They want to do good work. If we can change the discussion about government to the positive, that would be magnificent. And the way to do that, I think, is to open the door, as Starbucks has and Dell has and other companies should as well, to this idea that people have good ideas, and as long as we can discuss them in this way and act on them in this way, and that's the crucial part, you got to do something about it, then we turn the discussion to, what can we do together? Maybe I'm a little Pollyannish, but I really think it's there. It's our government, after all, and it should work there.
You're listening to Federal News Radio 1500 AM. It's the Federal News Radio Book Club with Jeff Jarvis, author of What Would Google Do? We have to take a break, and when we do, we'll come back and talk more about this book and how it will apply to the way you run your agency on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. You're listening to In Depth with Francis Rose. We're back in a moment. We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We're discussing the book, What Would Google Do, with the author of that book, Jeff Jarvis, and my colleagues in studio, Federal News Radio's Chris Dorbeck, WFED personality.
That's right.
And Frank DiGiamarino of the National Academy of Public Administration. One of the things that we were talking about, Mr. Jarvis, during the break was in the first segment we talked about the concept of what if we get 10,000 responses. A person that I have worked with in the past has always hesitated to put his work online in an area where people can comment on it and so forth for the exact opposite reason. What if nobody responds? And the fear that that might say something about the work or the audience or whatever. Do you run into people that feel that way when you're teaching?
Yes, and I think part of the problem here is that we judge things in the old mass media structures that big is always the right goal. It isn't necessarily. Follow the Wikipedia rule, which is that 1% about of the people who use Wikipedia make Wikipedia. And you know what? If it were double that, 2%, it would be chaos. 1% is the right number.
Mm-hmm.
In the kind of special, the internet demands specialization. But our assumptions and our view of the world comes from the mass view that we all dealt with the same one-size-fits-all products.
Mm-hmm.
Neither is government one-size-fits-all. I care what happens with the FCC because of the media, but I don't care what happens in farm regulation because I don't have a farm.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that the question is, who are you talking with? What are they having to say? We kind of go more toward a quality discussion. And part of that isn't just that people should come to the government site to talk. They're already talking out there.
Mm-hmm.
And go to blogs and go to Twitter and go around and see what people are saying and start to engage with people there. Go to them. Having to get them to come to you is very hard.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're already talking about these things that matter, and it's not hard to search, you can search Google blog search and Technorati searches blogs.
Yeah.
Search.twitter.com. You'd be surprised what's there. I'm amazed watching people talk about how they're reading the book as they're going. It's great fun. There are all these means of trying to find out the conversations that are already going on out there, and that's what I would concentrate on.
That's one of the big things that you've talked about anytime this comes up, Chris, is that the conversations are already happening, so pretending that they're not or trying to stop them is a bad idea.
Or pretending that they're that you can control them.
Yes.
And it's one of the tips in sort of management tips that Mr. Jarvis highlights is giving up control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Google doesn't try and have everything. They try and link you off to everything.
Find everything.
And
yeah.
And so it's giving up the control. For feds, I mean, this is not the framework that they're used to. This is, you know, they're used to giving you everything you want, and they're going to put it in a manageable form. And in fact, they work incredibly hard to make sure that there's never any information that anyone will misconstrue in any
mm-hmm.
way. I don't think that that's and so they sometimes even make things not searchable, so it doesn't confuse people. It's a very different mindset. And
I'll push even farther. Google, you're exactly right about Google giving up control and not. It can't do everything itself. It can't own the world of information. It organizes it. Google also releases products as betas, which is to say this is unfinished, it's imperfect, help us finish it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what government should be all the time, but that exactly goes contrary to the mindset you just said. Is no, it's my job to get this thing buttoned down tighter, else I'm going to be in trouble. Well, we also have to change the perspective, I think, of the citizenry to say, you know, because the act of opening up a beta is also an act of collaboration.
Right.
And so if we can find the way to say, no, this isn't done. That's the point. That's why I'm releasing this. Help me finish it. Have a voice in that. Not a vote, but bring your good ideas. Help me make it better. That would be a new kind of government.
Jeff, how do you talk to the career government employee, maybe 15 years in, who has worked through the ranks to get where they are within the structures that they have, And all of a sudden, we're sitting here saying, hey, there's all these really great tools you've got to get on board with. There's all these principles of how the new world works. And how do you get them to understand the principles and the tools and how to change the game and actually enable them to solve problems in different ways?
Right. Great question, because every single industry is going through exactly that. I've seen it with newspaper people. We see it in the auto industry now. And I think one answer is the change is coming anyway. You better get ahead of it. Now, it might seem as if government's a little more isolated from the change, but I don't think it is. I think that there's going to be a huge change here.
Well, this is what I always say to folks. You look at what polls say about people's government, and generally it's in the 20s. That's
right.
Not good. That's not good for this country.
That's generous.
Yeah. And so this is an opportunity to open those things up.
And that's the next question, is the opportunity, the question of opportunity. And I think that there you want to empower people to try these tools out and see what they can do. And the thing is, they're all easy. There's a kind of a priesthood of geeky stuff that tries to make it look hard. It's incredibly easy. I'm 54 years old. If I can learn all this, make a second childhood out of it, anybody can. So just get on to Twitter and search around. At first it'll be confusing, but then it's there. And the same with blogs. Flip video cameras. You know, if you want to explain something to somebody, maybe you should get on video, and it's really easy to do on Flip or on YouTube.
And I want you to actually tell the story, because it's early on in the book, about the creation of Facebook at Harvard University. You tell the story, because you'll do it better than I do. When he was actually taking a class, and the guy's name is just evaporated.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, exactly. Was taking an art class and was busy creating Facebook, so not really going to class.
He hadn't gone to class all term. He hadn't studied a bit. The final was a week away. And he was nervous, because it's one matter to drop out of school to start a big company. It's another matter to fail out of a course. So he didn't know what to do. Finally, he realized he thought like a net person. He went to the web. He found all of the art that they were supposed to write about in this art class. He put them on a page with a blank box underneath, and then he sent an email to all his classmates and said, I just put up a study guide. Think Mark Twain in the fence and a bucket of paint. All the students came in, and they not only filled in the essence of what the art was, they then, being Harvard students, they argued about it to get it just right. You can guess how the story ends. Zuckerberg aced the exam, but the instructor said everybody got better grades than usual.
Mm-hmm. And these are the kinds of stories that I love, because it is – there's a great guy over at HHS, Andrew Wilson, who was redesigning a simple redesign of the pandemic flu website. And all he did was put at the top of the page, we're redesigning this website. Tell us what you think. Blank box where people could fill in their wonderful – he had about 125, 130 comments. He posted all those comments so you could go and see what other people said. And people started commenting on other people's comments, saying, well, I really do this. And they just an incredible range of stuff that they're now adopting into the recreation of this website.
That's a really important example, because people are afraid out there to try that. I mean, Jeff just talked about the beta. Some of our agencies that we've been working with talk about fail-safe environments. It's just something that government doesn't have. Government comes with the perspective of we have to do it right. Somewhere along the way, they put all the problems on their shoulders and have tried to solve everything for the citizenry. And now we're reaching what Jeff's done a nice job pointing out in this book is now we got to reboot the public square and bring everybody back in and work together. And it's a big mind shift.
Well, and when we come back, I'd love to talk about make mistakes well, because it's one of the things that Jeff really highlights in this book, and that government just does an absolutely foul job at doing.
Yeah, and it also ties into something that I want to ask about, which is the three worst words in the federal government, which are get in trouble.
Yep.
Nobody wants to do that, and we'll talk about how we can change mindsets in that area, too. You're listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Back with more discussion with Jeff Jarvis, author of What Would Google Do?, next on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, continuing our discussion on the Federal News Radio Book Club. The book is What Would Google Do? And the author of that book is Jeff Jarvis. He is with us on the book club today. Also joining me in the discussion, Federal News Radio's Chris Dorabek and Frank DeGiamarino of the National Academy of Public Administrators. And we were talking before, what, did I do something wrong?
Public administration.
Oh, you, I, okay, because you looked okay. at each other and yeah, had that look like, what?
Yeah. So okay. We'll forgive you.
I knew I erred, so I apologize for that. we were talking about the break. Chris mentioned the idea of changing mindsets, and I wanted to talk about changing mindsets too. But Chris, expand your question out a little bit for Mr. Jarvis.
Well, and I think one of the big challenges that feds face is this idea. They're uncomfortable with the beta idea because they're feds aren't allowed to make mistakes. And look at what we do with people, anybody who makes a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not only do we take them out onto the mall and, you know, we put them on a pedestal and then throw things at them.
Right.
And then we put them on the ground and run them over and then throw it into reverse and run over them a couple more times.
And just put it on the front page of the Washington Post.
Just to make sure they know that they really, really messed up.
Yeah.
And so it leads to a culture that is so conservative, small c, that no one wants to take a chance. And these tools, frankly, are, you know, some are risky. Now, I would argue and have argued with folks that something like putting the box and saying, help me redesign this website, is not a huge risk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I keep pointing to folks. You know, it's interesting. You have folks like the folks who led Intellipedia who've been doing this for 5 years. And they're in a different place than I think 90% of the rest of government, maybe 95% of the rest of government. 95% that putting that box on a website is an enormous step for them. And out of doing that, they're learning things and they're trying it.
Can you also, the other piece we talked about was the person who did that and put the box, they're not in their 20s,
no,
right?
No, this isn't a kid.
Right.
No.
So this whole thing is not about age. It's about mental agility and determination to
mm-hmm.
change the way things
and
work.
And again, that's why I adore this book, because I think for people who say, I just don't get it, I think Jeff does a really good job of sort of walking you through how it will actually help you do your job better. This isn't just Facebook for fun. You do Facebook, and it helps you actually in ways that you may not even be able to anticipate. And that's part of the giving up control. It's part of, you know, tapping into the thoughts of all of us.
Jeff Jarvis, what say you?
Yeah, it's a huge question, because if you listen to most talk radio in the country except for this one, you're right. It's let's pounce on them every time they mess up. And that is a mind change more in the public than even in government, though one leads to the other. But I think you're coming back to the right thing, which is how do you open up earlier in the process? And it's not about making mistakes then. It's about helping each other finish something. And it's about openness. And the more you can position it as that, then it's, you know, in a sense, it's never done. It's never out there and never finished. And as long as that's the case, it's always a process. I say in the media world, we have to turn news from thinking of it as a product into a process. It is properly a process.
Mm-hmm.
You know what else, Jeff? It struck me, you were almost talking in the book, in fact, you might have said it this way, but as a platform.
Right.
Right. Like, can you talk about that a little bit more?
Well, go back to Mark Zuckerberg. He was asked by a famous publisher I won't name, Mark, how do I get a community like you do? We should have a community. We should be able to build a community like you did and own it. Why, how? Tell me how. And young Mr. Zuckerberg had a two-word answer, which is, you can't. And he went on to say that you're asking the wrong mistake, media moguls. The community already exists. You don't create it.
Mm-hmm.
It's already doing what it wants to do. The question you should ask is, how do you help it do what it wants to do better? And his prescription for that, I love, which was, you bring elegant organization. Isn't that, in the end, the raison d'etre of government, which is
yes.
to help us do what we want to do better
mm-hmm.
and to bring organization to our tasks? And so I know that sounds awfully highfalutin and awfully ridiculous, but I think if we get to the point where we can change the mindsets in both sides of the world and just say, listen, we're always learning. We're always making it better. It's a constant process, and if you don't help, you have only yourself to blame. Well, it's only going to work if you open up somewhat. This has to come, I think, from the top down to an extent. It has to come from being given permission to try things and thus to fail. Or being given permission to try things and not seem perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And and permission usually comes from the top. You know, at a place like Nike, they say, never ask for permission, only ask for forgiveness. In government, that doesn't work quite as well. Off with their heads.
Right.
And so I think that it's a big challenge for government, as elsewhere. I think that if we could have the 20% rule that Google has that encourages innovation, new products come out of the 20% rule, that'd be great. It's probably great wishful thinking to think that that could be done in government. But there have to be some ways that government executives find the way to free their employees to try things.
You know,
and
Jeff,
then when they try them, not to position things as mistakes, but to position them as process.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I do want to point out, too, is that there are a lot of examples of where there are innovators in government that are stepping out and doing really cool things. I mean, Chris has already mentioned Intellipedia. There's been the Transportation Security Administration with the Evolution of Security blog and their Idea Factory. There's a lot of activity at Department of State with their own wiki as well as their communities of practice. They've even been doing things with Flickr and such.
Yep.
There's EPA that has done some really interesting mashups and have done some national dialogues around particular issues. So I think that the other thing to point out here are that there are people in government that are moving out, and there are folks to learn from along
right, and
the
way. More they can be made into heroes mm-hmm. and examples, the more others might have the courage to try new things.
And I'll tell one other story, and it comes from EPA. A lot of it does involve leadership and sort of freeing up people to feel like they can do things. There was this young gentleman, Jeremy Ames, who rather than creating PSAs and contracting it out, had it's about radon, you know, the radon gas. And so rather than doing that, he actually put it out there for people to who have had radon and had a contest and said, you know, we'll submit them, we'll put them online, we'll vote on them. And he got about a dozen different videos, and they're all amazing. I mean, they're just incredible videos, and, of course, very heartfelt because they're from people who have actually dealt with radon. But the most amazing thing is that all the people who created those videos ended up getting together and forming their own social network on the Ing platform, and they're now having meetings and, I mean, again, giving up control but reaching out to people on the subject that you really care about, accomplishing your mission, getting radon to people know about it, to people care about it in ways that the EPA never would have really been able to do.
The other thing, Jeff, that would be interesting to hear from you is a lot of our first instinct is to think about the citizenry and engaging with the citizenry here. But we also see some examples of making our internal processes work better or even collaborating amongst partners better. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Actually, Jeff, can you hang on and talk about that after a break?
I heard the music.
Excellent. We'll be back in just a moment on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You're listening to In Depth with Francis Rose, continuing our discussion on the Federal News Radio Book Club of the book What Would Google Do? Back with more with author Jeff Jarvis in just a moment. We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's the Federal News Radio Book Club on In Depth with Francis Rose. And we're talking about the book, What Would Google Do? With the author of the book, Jeff Jarvis. Also in studio with me, Frank DiGiammarino of Napa and Federal News Radio's Chris Dorabeck. And Frank, you were asking Jeff before we went to the break about the external versus internal. We focused most of the first segment of the show on working and getting feedback from the citizens, this big amorphous group out there. Talk some more, though, about what you were getting to before the break about interacting with each other as we're trying to fulfill missions.
Yeah, so we see there's a construct. We have these cylinders of excellence around leaders, managers, frontline stakeholders, and citizenry that people, you know, get locked within. And the question is, how does that leader then tap into his own organization or her own organization, manager, frontline, and get things done, but also then connect across silos at the leader, manager, frontline level to do things differently using these tools? And so I'd just be interested in Jeff's thoughts, whether it's public sector or private sector, around some cases that might demonstrate that.
Right. Go back to Starbucks. And they have a parallel version of My Starbucks idea that operates only internally, where the employees can share ideas and get credit for them, and they have debates about things like tattoos, whether they should be hidden, and Starbucks issues. Also, in the book, I talk about Nike, where I went to a meeting where the managers wanted to find ways to get employees to feel encouraged to do more in their communities. And they had a few people who'd done what Nike people do, and they didn't ask permission, they asked forgiveness, and went off and did stuff. What was fascinating in the discussion was to hear the fears of these innovators. The fear is that somebody else is going to take over their idea. Somebody else is going to ruin their idea. They need some ownership of their idea. Then they want credit for their idea. I think part of what we have to recognize in the internet age, and this is just human nature, it's just more so now, that we can all stand out. We can all get Google juice. We can all become stars for our 15 minutes or 15 clicks. And that would seem to be antithetical to the notion of the bureaucrat. But more than ever, I would think people want to be able to stand out for what they do. And especially internally, if there's enough fear about talking to the citizenry, there shouldn't be, but there is, then at least start internally with things like blogging that a lot of government people are doing, and things like My Starbucks Idea, where they can share and they can stand out and become individuals and be known for that excellence.
Jeff, how do you convince people that this is okay to do? Because, as I said, small C conservative culture in the government, and they're frankly trying to deal with it right now around the transparency idea, and they have this wiki that they put out there that government folks can get on, and people have been reluctant to put their thoughts out there. And Frank and I were talking about this earlier, the traditional, you know, you come all together in your agency and you come up with what the agency plan is. And then you put that forward. You don't put your own thoughts and ads in there. So it's a very different, again, very different mode of thinking about how this work is going to be done.
Yeah, and it's a culture that I don't fully understand since I don't work in it. And I recognize that fear of change and fear of criticism can rule too much. But we all recognize that progress is not going to come out of either. And if you look again at industry, the newspaper industry waited 15 years to try to figure this out, and now it is too late for them because they sat back and they tried to protect things.
Mm-hmm.
So one way to do this, and it's a rather risky way, but one way to do it, frankly, is to turn fear on fear and to say, if we don't change, look what could happen.
Mm-hmm.
The government's not going to go out of business, we certainly hope, but change is out there, and there is going to be more calls for more change. And I'm coming to conferences in Washington that want to change government into government 2.0. And government people themselves want to, but they have to get in front of that. And I think the argument might be, if we don't do it, it's going to get done to us. And people are going to start making demands, and they're going to have another thing to complain to us about. And we have to find the way to get ahead of this. And the way to get ahead of it is not to take control of it again. The way to get ahead of it is to work with people outside, but disarm them, surprise them, get it going. And so even though it's, I understand that the question is about internal, it still goes back to the external. It still goes back to saying, well, but I have support here, so let me do it. It's still politics.
I'm heartened by the idea, Jeff, that as we watch what people are talking about in the government communities, they are getting that idea, I don't want it to be done to me, I want to be part of the change. So that's at least a trend in the right direction. We're going to continue our discussion with Jeff Jarvis, the author of What Would Google Do When the Federal News Radio Book Club Rolls On In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Back to wrap up in just a moment. Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Starting to push the envelope on time with our guest, Jeff Jarvis. He is the author of What Would Google Do? I know you do. You're an envelope pusher.
Yeah, I am.
So if this radio thing doesn't work out, Staples is hiring. So you'll
postal
be
service, maybe.
There you go. You'll be great there. Frank, before we when we were actually in the break, you made a point that I thought was really good, and I wanted you to bring it up on the air so everybody can hear it.
Yeah, that we were talking about how change is here and what are we doing about it. And I think the principle we talk about is the game has changed, but the rules haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the government is all about the rules. The bureaucracy really understands the rule sets and how they all work. And what we're trying to do is work with the administration and the agencies to have a conversation about what those rules are and how they need to change.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, what do you think?
I think that's right, and it goes to the point not just of day-to-day rules, but again, if our economy and our society are changing so fundamentally, if we are becoming a post-industrial world, then other things change. Our education system is aimed for an industrial world. Our laws are aimed for a pre-internet world, and our operation of government is also. So change must come, yes.
Yeah, and there's so many, you know, and we were talking in during the break about all the rules that are out there, and I so often hear agencies talk about, well, I can't do that because mm-hmm. of such and such. There's so much that they can do, if you just do it. It's sort of the Nike rule, as he said.
Yeah.
You know, ask for forgiveness later. But that's a antithesis of how most agencies work. And there's opportunities out there to do things in different ways.
And if I could just point folks to collaborationproject.org under the content section of Web 2.0 policy, we have a whole discussion around the key policy issues like paperwork reduction and privacy and cookies and Section 508 and so on. But there's also resources on there where people have done waivers for privacy, and there are examples for how other agencies have moved out and done this. So mm-hmm. if anybody wants that as a resource, it's open to them.
What's the website
collaborationproject.org.
again?
Collaborationproject.org.
Okay. I'll get that linked up on the in-depth page so that
Thank
people
you.
Can find it. Jeff?
Let me ask all of you, if I may.
No, please.
What's it going to take for government to be more transparent, to make government and its actions more searchable?
Well, that's a good question.
It's happening slowly. You know, the fear that they have is, that many people have is what are people going to do with that information? And are they going to take it and use it in different ways the giving up control thing? I think it's happening slowly over time. What's your sense?
Well, I would say leadership, and I think we have it. I think we have a president that his second memo was on transparency and open government. And I think there's a team out of the White House that's working very hard with the agencies to try and start to figure this out. And it's an important step.
And it's funny, I had down at FOSSE this week, I had a session on Government 2.0, and I called it Evolution or Revolution, because I think it's actually an element of both. And the questions were, a couple of people said that they think, well, we're there. And I said, you're mm-hmm. so far from there. Because
you're just getting started.
You barely dipped your toe into the water.
Jeff Jarvis, thank you so much for spending so much time and answering our questions and sharing your wisdom with us. The book is called What Would Google Do? By Jeff Jarvis. You can find out how to buy it later this afternoon on the in-depth page on federalnewsradio.com. And Jeff will also link to your Buzz Machine blog there as well so people can follow what you're doing.
Thank you all so much. I can't tell you how grateful I am.